I mean, how do I describe it? It's
bold.
A light.
Black.
Unapologetically black.
Very funny, amusing.
Caring.
You give great advice from a different perspective. Passionate.
Free.
Vulnerable.
A creative.
Sexy.
My girl is lit as fuck.
Always ready to twerk a little something.
Genuine, very genuine.
Resilient.
Like, sixth sense, otherworldly. If you know, you know.
It's so vibrant, baby. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Soul Vibrant, the place where music, history, and culture collide. I am your host, Lady AC, and I missed y'all, and I hope y'all miss me just as much as I missed y'all, but I definitely want to say that it is okay to take a break, to lay down somewhere, or lie down somewhere, as the elders say. And even from the things that you love, just so that way you can come back replenished, reconnected, and more aligned with the work that you need to do. Because that's definitely how I feel now. Because if I'm being transparent, fully transparent, that while I was loving the things I was creating and loving the shows that I was doing and loving the direction that my podcast was going, in that I was also exhausted from the healing I was doing, and just personal stuff going on was taking a mental toll on me, to making me extremely tired and extremely just kind of, I don't want to say withering, but it definitely kind of felt like that. And it's hard to give your all to something when on the other end you're feeling like that. So that's why even when it comes to stuff you love, you do have to take those time to pour back into you, so that way you can come back whole and stronger. And that's basically what happened over this time. And I definitely asked myself a lot of making sure I was aligned in the work I was meant to do. I was asking myself, you know, am I doing what I was created to do? Am I walking that path? Am I achieving the things, or at least got the goals to achieve those things? And there was moments where I really questioned that. I didn't know. I didn't think I was, or I doubted that I was. And so I had to utilize this break to reconnect with those things. And I'm so grateful for every experience of that, because here I am. I'm back and I'm ready and better than ever. So in the spirit of that, I'm excited to announce that Soul Vibrant is officially nominated for the Women's Podcast Awards. Once again, another sign that I am doing the work, that I am on the right path, and I'm aligned to what I'm meant to do. And I will definitely give you more information about that towards the end of our show. But yes, I just wanted to first announce that. I recommend y'all take these breaks. You need them, because they definitely lead to many rewarding things. May is known as National Mental Health Awareness Month. So, of course, mental health, especially with all the terminology, with all the information and the awareness that I've talked about on this show, that is out there on the internet, or people are going to therapy, we're seeing the growing understanding of its importance. But in another way of getting to know ourselves, May is also known as National Masturbation Month. And what better way to know yourself than to feel yourself, literally? You know, that is the first exploration of understand what makes us feel good, what gives us our pleasure, what makes us connect. It actually adds to our mental health, because certain sensations create certain chemicals within our mind to give us the relaxation, to give us the clarity, to give us, you know, the sense of ease. And I feel that both of those are equally important to talk about. And that's what is going to fuel this entire month. So just to give you a heads up. So, and not only this show, but weeks within this entire month, every show will be dealing with something along the lines of either mental health or sexual health and wellness, or a beautiful blend of the two, including my musical numbers that I play as well. So in the spirit of all of that, of all those things that I say, today's episode is simply called Freestyle. Because we're going to blend all this and make something beautiful out of it, okay? Get you feeling good, tapping into that mental, tapping into that pleasure. So we're going to go into our first musical break, and then we'll get into it. All right, be right back.
It's prime time.
Baby, it's a prime time for our love. Ain't nobody thinking but the stars above.
And that was Janelle Monáe featuring Miguel with Prime Time. And that was the Chloe Martini remix, which personally is my favorite remix of that song. The way Chloe put that spin on it. And shout out to Chloe. Just give a little musical background on her. Chloe Martini is an amazing music producer out of Poland. And all her remixes and spins on things give it just nice, like, soulful, deep cut kind of feel. And when I heard that, and I played that song on my show religiously when I had my radio show. And when I heard that, y'all, like, you know how they talk about, like, there are certain songs, like, you wish you could hear it again for the first time. Like, man, y'all can only imagine the first time I heard that. That was like, who is this how they doing it in Poland? Okay. But yes, I didn't get to read much as I like to, but I definitely read a lot of articles, a lot of news stories in my break. And The Guardian did a beautiful expose on the children of former Black Panthers. And in that, there were so many beautiful messages that came out. One thing that stuck out to me a lot was this particular Panther, Erica Abram, who is the daughter of Elaine Brown, one of the most powerful female Black Panthers that we know of. And she was talking about how she was pretty much rectifying with her feelings of being immersed in, you know, the community that the Panthers were building and then being, you know, snatched out of it and can't go away. But also dealing with the feelings of having her mother not really be there as a result of her dedication to the Black Panther movement. And in that, she talked about how a big message that the Panthers brought, or the, especially when it came to their dedication, was about how they have to give their hearts, their minds, their bodies, their lives for the people, for the community, for that. And so on that end, she understood that. But then she had this question where she was like, but what about us? What about me? Ain't I the people? And as she explored that nuance, as she explored that concept, she realized that when we say that we are for the people, that includes ourselves. You cannot serve others, serve the world, serve the community without having to take care and serve and give guidance to yourself. How often do we align those things with ourselves? And so with her explaining it and going through that process and talking about that, that really hit me deeply to remember that I am the people. We are the people. You are the people. So you have to equally pour and do the work and build community with yourself. And so in that, one of the best ways we do that is through the things that the month of May are known for. So I want to kind of start by beginning talking about the importance of mental health from a different perspective, because everybody has seen what is going on around us, what is going on in the news, what maybe even what's going on in the community on top of what is just going on in our daily lives. And I think I've said this on other shows before, that I feel that all of this is by design. But in thinking that, I never really kind of got into why it's by design. The reason it's by design is because they want us to lose our minds. They want us in a constant state of fear, a constant state of uneasiness, a constant state of panic and frantic, even manic. Because a mind that is lost, a mind that is wild, a mind that is not in control can easily be taken, can easily be manipulated, can easily be used to create more hurt for others. And we are seeing that play out in real time because they know people are worried about the cost of living. They know people are worried about the fear of keeping their families together or being deported or not being able to access education or not being able to access a quality of life or not being able to get a sense of normalcy that we all are granted for, that we all deserve to have. And we don't have to prove anything, any existence of our humanity. Just actually just being is enough to know that we all deserve a quality of life. But they are mentally playing these games or using people as literal examples to harden our hearts, to disrupt our nervous systems so that we cave under the pressure and ultimately just go crazy. So that way they can gain more control, more power. I mean, it's just evil. But sometimes I even think that's not even the word to even describe it. Because some of the things that they're just allowing themselves to do and the ways they're allowing people to treat each other, this does no service but line their pockets. But you know, in my break, what I also saw happen though, how we counter all of this, how we break down all of this, is that we fight back. And what I've seen is a growing consciousness of people understanding the mental games that they're playing, especially with us Black folks. Man, let me tell you something. I love being Black. Let me tell you, I love me some Black folks, because the world is so shook right now, especially by Black folks. I mean, I can't even imagine a world without us. Like, one minute we ain't nothing to play about, but then we play too much. Child, between these film memes, these gorilla memes, I've been crying. We are so creative. We are innovators, storytellers, just like, I love being Black. Because Black people have turned to the most powerful card we have to play, and that is our joy. Child, how many line dances done came out since April? And for the record, side note, I learned boots on the ground, so I'm ready. I've mastered the Tamia dance in December of last year. I got the boots on the ground now. Honey, I'm ready. I got my fan. I'm out here. But it is so interesting to see how shook people are that Black people specifically are just out here enjoying ourselves, and they have the nerve to really be like, oh, y'all not gonna do anything, oh, y'all not gonna process. No, we did. We have. Matter of fact, we are. People don't understand it, especially when it comes to the Black experience, how essential joy has been a powerful movement for us, how joy has been a way we have been able to survive this long in this country. How are we still here is that psychology, that sociology question that the powers that be continue to ask. Now, I know in my last episode, or in some episodes before, I talked about that work, and I talked about how, you know, we can't afford to not do anything. And that's not really what I'm talking about here. Because acting joy is doing something. Having joy, enjoying yourselves, finding ways to love, finding ways to still give or connect to your humanity is doing the work. That's how we do build. And honestly, that's how Black people build community, is through our joy. Through learning these line dances, through taking these trips, through having the sister circles and talking with your friends or talking with your guys or reconnecting with your elders, or on top of doing the community work or the activist work, I would say, of, you know, mutual aids and food banks and protesting. And there are so many ways that we do that, but joy has to be at the center of that, because joy creates the hope, and the hope creates the urgency to keep living for another day. And they are constantly sending a text to shake our nervous systems, to hit our mental health. And you want to know how it's obvious? It's because they do it in so many different ways that they think they slick and they think they're subtle with them. But every time we see through them. One of the biggest examples. So back in April, I don't know about y'all, but did y'all see all those marches that took place nationwide? Marching across the, you know, marching against this administration and the way things are and the cost of living and how they were out there. That was a mental attack. Why? Because as someone who's part of the early protest, and I think I participated in a couple of them when I was, especially when I was in college, and when I was living in Atlanta, I didn't see no police escorts. I didn't see no military gear, no tear gas, no tanks. They just basically did a parade. And even that, I remember the post that went viral. Like, even one of the people who went, like, there was this conversation of how they needed entertainment for the kids at a protest. Y'all want to have bouncy houses at a protest? And I remember on the Black most social media side, there was a collective moment where we as Black activists had to hold ourselves. Because we remember the brutality. We remember the tear gas. We remember there are still some activists to this day that I knew that are still dealing with health issues due to the violence that a lot of these protests created, because they were just so fearful of the representation of us being together like that. And it's like, to remember that and then to see all these protests. I mean, I remember we couldn't walk in the street or we would have got arrested. We couldn't walk. We had to stay within the parameters, on the sidewalk, in the middle, and seeing these people walk freely through the roads. No traffic. No cones. Like I said, I remember one protest I was in particularly. We had the police literally lined up behind us, basically like walking us through the protest. Didn't see none of that. So for a brief moment, imagine experiencing that and then seeing these protests. That can mess with your mental. But what that can really cause you to be like, damn, they really do hate us. They really do fear us. Like, why do you hate? Why do you have such this virile reaction to us? And so your mind starts to turn. And unfortunately, it can turn into a very sunken place. But as I was finna to say before I got into that, but what I loved is that collectively, as Black people, especially on the internet, we stopped ourselves. We gave ourselves space to feel those things, which is the first step. We gave ourselves moments to feel it. We gave ourselves moments to experience that, to make space for that anger, that frustration, that pain, that hurt. But then we took it. And we're like, you know what? That's why I'm gonna put this in my community. This is why I'm gonna learn this dance. That's why I'm gonna find my boots. I'm gonna get my fan. I'm gonna get all the banned books that I can. I'm gonna watch every movie, every video game that come out. I'm going to do everything to replenish and know that I ain't crazy. I see what y'all doing. I ain't finna put myself in harm's way. I'm not finna do that anymore. And that's it. That's it. And they were still angry. Right? The powers to be, they were still angry. That didn't work. So then they try again. For instance, like in DC, how they destroyed the road just to pull up the letters so it wouldn't say Black Lives Matter anymore. But you didn't, which is so crazy. That's how I know that this is supposed to be a game. But I'm like, they're not clearly thinking here, because why would you destroy an actual road that people need to use? But that was the point. They destroyed it. The symbolism of it. They destroyed that. Oh, and speaking of symbolism, another way they have tried to play our minds, they kept trying to slide in these moments of symbolism, especially, unfortunately, the Democrat side definitely has been playing up on symbolism and the illusion of fighting back and doing different things by doing different press tours and speaker events and all this stuff. Because with this administration, when they're in the pews, when they're in these conference rooms, where is that same fight? They give that to us. They put that online. They put that in these talks, in these tours. But when it comes to what really matters, when they are actually in the rooms, where is that? Because the ones that do speak up, they allow them to get punished. They allow them to take the fall, right? They think the symbolism of them just being the representation is enough. Speaking of representation, another example of that is that child, that space mission where they were in space for 10 minutes. I hate to say this, but let's be real for a second. Didn't that ship look like a dick? You put a first all-female crew inside of a spaceship shaped like a dick and put that in space for 10, 15 minutes and then bring them back to Earth. And that's supposed to be this ultimate feminist woman power. I am so glad collectively as a people, as a society, we were like, what the hell that's going to do about the cost of eggs? Like, I love how we as a people were like, okay, but the student loan debt though, but this medical debt though, but these bills I'm paying though. Like, I love how we collectively did not buy these acts of symbolism. And I'm sorry, that died in 2020, 2021 when y'all were doing all that. But once again, they got angry with that we weren't falling for it. So then they try again. And I think the latest one that I've been reading, the Trump administration started going after museums, specifically Black history museums. I know with the African American Smithsonian especially was big. And what's been going on there, or I've been following up lately, is that they're starting to promote articles with misleading headlines. Because the headline reads that they're starting to remove artifacts and take things away. So obviously it's starting to get people worked up. Because it's been very clear with this administration that they've been attacking a lot of archives, museums, databases that mention Black history or Black history, historical figures. And they've been trying to erase them, or they had erased them. You so great. So to prove that you're great, you have to erase our greatness. And we kept calling them out on that. We still didn't march in the streets. We still didn't get all huffed up and all that. No, we just checked them directly without having to riot or protest or getting, like I said, do all that physical labor that they want us to do, because they want Black bodies to be put back on the line. But I love, once again, that collectively we like, no, from the comfort of our homes, from the comfort of our spaces, we made our voices heard. We told them no. And they walked back a lot of the things that they're doing. A lot of lawyers are starting to make lawsuits. A lot of judges are starting to roll back on the things that this administration has tried to do. And that is because we collectively pushed back without having to sacrifice our bodies like we have in past years. But it also shows just the lengths that these people in charge are willing to go to get us up in arms. And every time they get mad with us, they go for something else. If it doesn't work, they do something else. If it doesn't work, they do something else. And to finish my point about the, for instance, with the African-American Smithsonian, when you read the article, the artifacts that they're actually sending back are the ones that were part of loan agreements, and the loans are simply expired. But with headlines saying they're returning, they're removing facts, they're removing artifacts, they're removing pieces of the museums, that creates chaos to create the change that they need to be putting in the work to do. So if that don't work, then they hit us where they know where we at. Our social medias and our entertainment. Side note, honey, the South always has something to say. I said that in my show and I'll say it again. We've been here. It is so important to tell our stories. It's so important for us to reconnect with the roots of what gives Black culture its life. And it all started in the South, honey. Let's be real. It all started in the South. And to see the power and the influence that these different mediums from the amazing Sinners. If y'all have not seen Sinners, oh my goodness. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm not going to do it. I promise I'm not. But if you haven't seen it and see it in IMAX, oh my goodness. As a film lover, Black culture lover, as a Black people lover, as a music lover, as a historical lover, that movie is a love letter to all of that. A new game that went online for Xbox, South of Midnight, the storytelling of Louisiana culture, and definitely had a Louisiana kind of feel to it. Bayou culture, so once again, Black storytelling, and the concept, it taps also into mental health and the darkness that can be created from trauma and the importance of healing. My country, Black heart, is so full and so proud. But once again, they attack those mediums. You have these news articles, these film critics constantly talking about the financial success and the numbers and all this stuff and downplaying the success that Sinners has reached. You got the trolls and the incels online talking about how reverse racist and how trash the game, the South of Midnight video game is, and how they didn't connect to it and how it doesn't make sense and all this stuff. And then, or for instance, with Cowboy Carter, they told her that she wasn't going to be able to sell out no stadium. That was the wrong platform for her to make us get all riled up and argue online and disconnect from the joy that ultimately is the power to overcome all this stuff. But, you know, in witnessing all that, though, the realization that I come to and seeing all that unfold and seeing all that happen is that the powers that be, the administration, white supremacy, what all these different evils of the world, they know they're losing. And that's why they're pulling all these tricks. They're not being original. They're literally pulling strategies out of their racist playbooks that they've been using since the creation of this country. That same propaganda, that same language. They may change a word or two around nowadays, but that's because they know it's not working. So they have to play dirty. They have to get more violent. They have to get more dangerous. They have to get, because they know that collectively the mindset is changing. We are starting to dig into our humanity and recognize that we deserve to be here as ourselves, in our full selves, with a quality of life that makes sure everyone can thrive.
full cray.
And I know that one definitely sounded a little familiar. That was Full Crate's remix of the Aaliyah classic Rock the Boat. And I know y'all did a little body roll with that. I don't know about y'all, but I definitely was winding my hips over here. I love that cut right there. Shout out to Full Crate for that. I think it is time to make them scared and to keep them in that fear. Let's wreck their nervous systems. Let's make them shook and let them know that we hold the key to our power. Specifically for Black people, that power is our joy. And you can't take it. Ain't it like the song say, the world can't give it and the world can't take it away? Same thing with our joy, honey. And so on that note, I'll end it on that. I have some exciting news. Soul Vibrant has been nominated for the Women's Podcast Award. So yay! I've been nominated in the category of Best News and Entertainment Podcast. So I am asking all of you under the sound of my voice to please, please, please vote. Because it is the people's choice for people to win. So please go vote for Soul Vibrant for the Women's Podcast Awards. And they are doing voting all the month of May. So voting ends on May 31st. So of course, I'm going to have the link posted in all my social medias. So please just click those. Or if you see any of my posts anywhere, click on the post and they'll take you to the link. But to get directly to it, you are going to go to womenspodcasters.com/awards. Okay, so that is the link. So you're going to type into your search box. You're going to put, once again, womenspodcasters.com/awards. When you get on that website, it will say, you will see either some words highlighted in blue or like some kind of dark color like that. Or you can scroll down to the page and just click vote. But when you get on the page initially, you're going to click on the word vote. It's going to take you to, you're going to see an icon with a gold arrow pointing down to it. And it's going to say voting form. You click on that and that's how you cast your vote for me. And if you listen to any of the other women of the different categories and vote for them, but make sure especially to vote for Soul Vibrant in the news entertainment column. Please, please vote. And once again, voting it began on May 1st and it ends on May 31st. So please vote, 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 vote. In the meantime, I am on all social medias. Facebook.com is Queen Lady AC. On Instagram, it is _IAmLadyAC, and that's Instagram and Threads. On Twitter or X and Substack, I am Lady AC. So please go follow, like, share, and then click on the links and vote, guys. Vote for me. I appreciate it. But in the meantime, of course, always, I appreciate you, love you, and honey, keep that joy, because we need it. All right.